Welcome, everyone, to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
About a day early to the dentist.
Were you a day early or a week early?
Or a week early, sorry.
Oh, my God.
I was so early because I was enthused, right? Because, you know, dental hygiene,
you're nuts about dental hygiene. Did you ever watch West Wing? Because one of the characters on that show is nuts for dental hygiene.
No, can't say that I did.
That's what he actually says.
Oh. But yeah, I rolled into the dentist this morning, and I was like, sorry, I'm a little bit late. And she's like, no, you're about a week early. So I told her I'd just wait in the lobby. Anyway.
That's awesome. All right.
Party on.
So party on, Jim. We have some guests this week, my friends. We have joining us from Fugitive Games to talk about their successfully kickstarted and greenlit game, which is amazing, guys, by the way. We're going to talk about that. We have, from Fugitive Games, we have Ben Jones, development director.
Hello.
We have Alden Fillion, art director.
Hello.
And Roy Orr, creative director.
Hello.
And if I'm told correctly, Roy, it is your birthday today.
That is correct, yeah.
So happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Happy
very birthday. My birthday's in a week. So are you doing anything fun for your birthday? I'm having a space game party, actually. So what are you doing?
I'm doing this, man. This is my birthday celebration.
Well said. Well said. I like how you slipped that in. So, folks, we were talking about Into the Stars. It started kickstarting about 2 weeks ago. Three weeks ago, yeah, because you guys are almost done. You have like about a week now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And you guys were funded in what, about 2 weeks?
Yeah, that's about right.
That's pretty freaking awesome. Now, how was that? Because, I mean, we talk to a lot of people that have Kickstarters, and the success and failure of the campaigns vary so much. Like, some people put all this time into their campaign, and it fails, and some people don't put much time into their campaign and succeed. So it's kind of hard to like get a bead sometimes on how a campaign is successful. So what do you guys think you did to really shoot that rocket up so quickly that you got funded well within the time frame?
I think we certainly presented a good concept. I think the game itself is an idea that people seem to have really latched onto. We've got a lot of positive feedback in that regard. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I also think we put significant effort into not only the visuals of the game, but the presentation of the Kickstarter and ensuring that really clearly presented, you know, how the game is, what direction we're taking in, and why we need people's help. I think a lot of Kickstarter is about clarity. So, we work together as a team to try to make that as clear as possible. And I think a lot of people really latched on to that.
Yeah, because you guys have a very solid pitch. I mean, the trailer video that's going on Twitch now is very, very pretty, very, very attractive, very clear. But you also had good graphics, a lot of good text, you know, on your pitch. So a very successful pitch, I got to say, obviously. But I mean, I see some pitches, like I saw one pitch where it was two guys, and they started talking in unison about their game, and that was just creepy. That was just really freaking.
Sounds terrible.
It was. I mean, the game. I think the campaign raised $10, maybe mm-hmm. $20, and you could tell that was probably from their friends or their family. So I kind of felt bad, but at the same time, a little creepy. Like, you know. So I mean, you got to put a lot of work into that sort of stuff, but you guys have done great. Now, moving on to another thing, Kickstarter. You guys were kickstarted in just a few days. Is that right?
Oh, I think you mean greenlit, but
greenlit. Sorry,
yeah.
Yes.
No, that's correct. We were greenlit in 3 days.
Jeez.
So what's the secret of that? Like, yeah, have a gazillion people show up, or
do you have anything to say about this, Jim? I was going to say.
Well, I'm actually wondering, like, because as a developer, you get to watch your numbers on there. So, mm-hmm. like, did you see, like, 100,000 people show up and wallop, but, like, on the first day or what?
We saw really good traffic throughout, like, especially, you know, obviously until we were greenlit, and then we still, you know, got a lot of love after that. But, it was just incredible, the outpouring of support that we received, in the greenlight process. And as far as, like, metrics for success. Obviously there are some comparisons to Kickstarter as well. You know, clearly state your idea and hope that people like it. You know, I think a lot of it was timing too, and people just seem to be ready for this kind of game. That's got to be a big component of it. But certainly, it happening that fast was a huge surprise to us. We really didn't expect it to be that quick.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time, because I've been starting to keep track of how quickly stuff gets kickstarted, because a lot of space games, you know, get kickstarted and stuff. And I don't think I've ever seen a game get greenlit. Fuck. I don't think I've ever seen a game get greenlit that fast.
We couldn't find anything else that was greenlit at that speed either. We were really surprised.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's that much. Like, it's all whispers, and there doesn't seem to be any concrete information. But, you know, so it's difficult to know how fast it really happened or if you set any kind of record. But regardless, it was a huge shock and really quick.
Now, before this, you guys, if I remember reading the I'm going to say, right, this Kickstarter, if I read the Kickstarter, right, you guys worked at EA before this on, like, some of the shooty games. Is that right?
Yeah, well, a number of us worked at EA DICE prior to this. That's where Alden and Mark and myself all came from directly. But all of us have worked together at some point in our careers at various different places. So Alden and Roy, for instance, worked together at Spark Unlimited before this. And I've been working with Mark for a long time now, nearly 8 years. And you know, Roy and I have wanted to work together since what, grad school, Roy? I mean, it's been a long time.
Wow. You guys went to the same grad school?
Yeah, we did.
Which one?
Go ahead.
It was the Guildhall at SMU.
SMU.
Yeah, the Guildhall's a video game development program at Southern Methodist University in Dallas.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was great. Intensely stressful 18 months, but it was good.
No, it sounds – I mean, it's obviously worked well for you. Now, you guys are working on a bunch – have you worked on shooters before this? I mean, not shooters, space games. Had you worked on space games before this?
No.
I came from Lost Planet 3. That's kind of space-y, but not
really. Yeah, it's sci-fi realm, you know, but nothing like major space, you know, like genre. But, you know, those are games that we've all enjoyed throughout our lives, you know.
Right. So, yeah, no, that's good to hear, because, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I did not see this space game resurgence coming at all.
It's pretty crazy.
It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It is pretty exciting.
It's so great. Now, when did the idea, when did you guys start kicking around into the stars? When did that start, like, ruminating in your head?
Well, probably about a year ago, I would say, when we were all started talking about this. I mean, the game itself has been in development, you know, a little under a year. We all came onto it at different points in the project. But, yeah, that sounds about right, guys?
Yeah, it's about right. I mean, it's kind of an idea that started, you know, basically with the Oregon Trail concept, and it, as we brainstormed and talked over the months kind of leading up to us forming a company and all of that stuff, it kind of came into this idea.
It's kind of funny you mention Oregon Trail. I was just playing another game that had very Oregon Trail elements to it. It's very cruel, it's very mean, and it's kind of funny how people, like, I've been hearing that game mentioned more and more, especially with games like Oregon Trail. Like, it's interesting how that game influenced so many people, apparently.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, it was especially for us. I mean, I think it was all over the States, but certainly for us growing up in Texas, it was in every elementary school I've ever heard of. And we all played it when we were learning to first use computers. So, you know, I think it was a fundamental experience for a lot of people our age, and, you know, something that is really awesome to come back to. I mean, lots of really strong fundamental lessons learned in you know, from game development, like, that can be learned from that project. So us coming back to that and incorporating that into our own designs is something that we're pretty excited about.
No, that is pretty awesome. I mean, I gotta say, I was reading your Kickstarter, and it sounds like a very mean game. There are a lot of games being influenced by FTL. Let's just be honest, and with good reason. FTL was a great game. That game gave me panic attacks. It really did, because I've like felt bad every time a crewman died. Like I wanted to just hug them and say I'm sorry. I killed you. And this game looks kind of similar, and because the crew has names and faces and stats, and they will die. They will definitely die. It sounds like, and that's just mean. But let me start there. So basically, the basis of the game, it sounds like, is you're this one like kind of ark ship, and you're on the run from these aliens. Have been just chasing you and chasing you and chasing you and chasing you. Is that right?
Yeah.
And since they've been chasing you so long, if I'm remembering correctly, the experienced crew is kind of through attrition whittled away, and now you have to pick these kind of greenlings, right? Am I remembering correctly?
You're definitely on it. Yeah. I mean, you're the last ship to leave this home planet. There have been many before you, so you're kind of left with this ragtag crew, which is why, you know, they start with pretty mediocre stats. You have to find a healthy balance and, you know, hope to keep them alive so that they can get better over time and, you know, get you through some of these difficult challenges that you're facing.
Right. Now I wanted to ask about choosing a crew. It looked like there are how many crew members do you get to choose? It looked like there were five or six.
Well, there's six. You get to take six with you, but you have a much larger number to choose from.
Oh, I see. So you get to choose six out of a pool.
That's correct.
Yeah. And now, what are the stats these folks have that will make you choose them? Like, what are their? Why would you choose one crew member over another?
Well, each crew member. I mean, they have their uses for each of the actions that you do in the world, and what you touched on briefly before, that kind of personal attachment to your crew members is something we want to have. And basically, so you're going to be stressed out, you know, and you're probably going to shed some tears over
it sounds like.
And so you have, you know, like battle stations, for instance, they take into account your engineering skill. And then you have pilot skill, which is used on sending down either probes or your landing party in a shuttle. And you have things like command skill, which is determined for on the landing parties when they go down there, what happens down there that's, you know, they need to use their command skill to kind of be the Riker on the ground and whatnot. And then you have medical, which is usually used for if guys are taking damage, depending on the medic skills, they can take less damage, basically. And each of these skills starts off at a lower point, depending on which ones you choose. And as you progress through the world, they get better at their skills. So it basically builds the crew members up, and they become more and more useful. But it also becomes a thing of like, well, if I lose this guy, I'm not going to have someone that's really good at that skill unless you're good at managing your crew throughout the process.
This sounds a lot like Starflight, if I may be so bold. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing. It's one of my favorites. Did you guys play Starflight, by the way?
I never played it, but I've heard the comparisons before. So when I started hearing that, I went through and watched some stuff on it.
Yeah, it is not a bad thing. Starflight is one of the finest space adventure games ever made. Almost freaking 30 years old now, and it's still very hard to beat. So I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I love the comparison. I'll play anything that's similar to that.
Cool.
Does someone have a loud keyboard?
I know the culprit.
It's probably me. Sorry.
No. That's what kind of keyboard do you have?
A really crappy one, because my good one just went to the graveyard.
Oh, I was hoping you might have. I have this big old clicky keyboard, this big old IBM. I love loud keyboards.
So wait. You have an IBM keyboard? How old is that?
I've got four of them, okay? I'm an addict. I've got this thing is, hang on. I think this is 1991. Wow. Hang on.
Yeah,
93.
Yeah, it's the Unicomp original buckling spring.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Oh, no, I love the fuck out of this thing. Let me if anyone
you have four of them.
Oh, well, you got to have backups, you know, and just in case you spill sweet tea on it or something.
In case he needs to defend himself, like if ninjas are in the window.
In case someone breaks in, I can beat them to death with it.
Right. Call it getting home road.
Weighs a billion pounds. So I was just kind of hoping someone else might have one, that I'm just not the crazy one. All right. So you have a crew. You get to manage them, and they have names. Now, I wanted to ask, since the game is seems pretty crew-centric, will the crew, like, interact with each other? Like, do they have, like, quarrels with each other? Like, I don't know if you guys played, like, Jagged Alliance, I think it was called, back in the day. But if you recall, like... like, two people might not like each other. So if you put them on the same team, they would barely work together. They would, like, one would even rebel sometimes. Like, I fucking hate that guy. You know, so I'm just wondering if there are any kind of interpersonal relationships between crew members that might affect gameplay.
No, I mean, we don't have anything like that. You know, it's more of you serving as captain and they following your orders.
Okay.
So if they don't follow your orders, can you space them out the airlock or
pull a Roslyn? Is that who that was? Roslyn, the chick from Battlestar Galactica.
Oh yeah.
And pull a Roslyn.
Send them out the airlock.
Exactly, out the airlock. Can you do that? Like, can the crew mutiny? Do they have like a morale or anything?
No, we don't have anything like that in there. I mean, we took a lot of influence from Battlestar Galactica for sure. I mean, it's one of my favorite shows.
Well, good. That's right.
Yeah, it's awesome. But you know, we're trying to keep as focused as we can with that stuff. Yeah.
What about space dysentery?
There's definitely cases of space dysentery.
I hope
really
call it actually that.
Can the crew get sick? Is that true?
definitely get sick. Yes, they can.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I love that. That's awesome. I love it. And then you have to find a cure for them, I guess, if there is one.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of harkens back to the Oregon Trail mindset is kind of capturing that magic and whatnot. You know, of guys getting sick, your crew members getting sick, and you know, you might run into something like space dysentery or other things that harken back to Oregon Trail. But yeah, it's definitely in there.
What about like eaten by a space hamster?
I love it.
Go for your eyes.
Write that down, Roy. Write that down.
Giant space hamster. So in the trailer video that we have on loop, there's kind of a hint as to the interface that the captain has, as you as the player has, to control all these folks. So tell me about the UI and the interface you have to control your various crew members.
Alden, do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Well, you essentially have just the captain's view, which gives you like an overall view of the ship, what's going on, like the resources you have, the how much fuel you have, mm-hmm. how your shields are doing, and then you go into a finer view of how each system is holding up inside. And you'll see that in the video. He'll point to, you know, like he'll give the Picard view of like, hey, you know, what's going on in this station? And it goes to like the main console view where it shows like the crew and their health and how they're doing and any problems that are going on within the crew. And then you'll see like engineering, which has like all your modules and the state of each module and stuff you can do to upgrade or repair each of the modules and stuff like that. You have a map that's there, resources that tell you like how much of each one of the resources that you've collected from the planets. That's another screen that's there. And then you have the overall captain's chair that takes you right back to the captain.
Very nice. That sounds pretty efficient and straightforward. It sounds like you need to be with a game that you're managing a ship and its resources and all that stuff. Now, I wanted to talk about the ship. It sounds like the ship is immensely upgradable. Is that the case?
Upgradable.
It's mostly the modules and
modular. Yeah, upgrade. Yeah. You can upgrade it through modules. That's what I meant. Yeah,
and it's more internal how the ship works internally and how you manage it internally. So it's a systems based game. So you're always managing like engineering or shields and stuff like that. You're keeping track of those modules.
Oh, okay. And can modules, like, now are the modules modeled, like, individually so a module can break down and you have to try and spend time and resources to fix it and that sort of thing?
Yeah, it does, but it's represented more internally. So you'll see it more of in a diagram view of, like, what's going on. Like in a Star Trek episode, if, like, engineering went down, you know, you wouldn't see it from an outside point of view. You'd see, like, on the diagram, like, this system's down. What do I need to do to repair it? And, you know, you can collect different parts and stuff to repair those systems.
Oh, okay. And that, so I was curious, how do you collect resources and parts, away team missions on planets and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we have a separation there. You got resources that you can gather through either sending probes or sending your mining rig down to gather those resources. And then you have the items that you find through your explorations of the planets by sending your landing party down. And you can find things like repair parts that you can use to repair your modules if they're taking damage, or you can use them in battle. You can get module enhancements, which give you basically a timed buff on the modules themselves. So things like, you know, laser cannons and whatnot, that you can give yourself a temporary buff. And then you've got modules that you can find in your journeys on the landing parties that maybe they're different stats, different resources used, that you might look at it and compare it to your current one and be like, yeah, I want to swap out and use this one that I found because it's special and one that I didn't have access to when I was first building my ship.
Oh, okay. So, that's pretty cool. And I'm guessing all this is randomized through in different playthroughs. So your ship can go like and kind of be a little different through each playthrough, I'm hoping.
Guessing. Yeah, I mean the loadout you do at the beginning is your choosing.
Okay.
But the items you find in your journey is randomized.
Oh, very nice. I was going to kind of expand on the random question. Is the solar system itself randomized as well?
No, it's built out by us, and basically it's like the locations are static, but what happens on those locations is randomized.
Oh,
so
okay.
You might know the map, if you're not making it the first time you come back through, you know the locations, but you don't necessarily know what's going to happen on each interaction.
Oh. Yeah, that's totally right. We really wanted to like give players a clear layout of this star system so that they would become more familiar with it over time. But every experience, every different playthrough would be unique, not only from, you know, the randomized content, you know, in the world and on these planets that Roy was talking about, but also how you approach the game as a whole, right? Like, which crew members are you going to take? Which resource, like how much resources and which are you going to bring with you, and what type of modules are you going to outfit your ship with? So players will have a lot of different, you know, inputs on their end that'll change things up, but also how they proceed through this world every time is probably going to be different.
Oh, good.
The world is really big, like insanely big. So it's going to take a lot of playthroughs for you to memorize like where stuff is, like a considerable amount. The world's probably bigger than every game we've worked on together combined.
Well, I think the Kickstarter page said 90 zones.
Yeah.
And so what is in each of those zones? Like, is one zone an asteroid field and one zone as a planet and one zone is a nebula? Or is it something like that? Or how do these zones work?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination. You can find some zones contain more content than others. But it's definitely a combination of finding either alien ships out there or planets, moons, asteroids, a lot of different things combined. So it's not just like this zone is just a planet, this zone is just a nebula.
Right.
It's kind of finding a good flow and combining.
Now, are there going to be like hazardous zones? Like this zone has lots of radiation and you could save a lot of time going through it, but you're also going to damage your ship and probably your crew. Is there going to be stuff like that?
There's not like that instance of radiation things. We don't have that currently, but
right. But something like that.
There's danger zones. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Danger zones.
Yeah, definitely.
Got some Archer fans in the house. Yeah. Lana. Sorry. Every time I hear that now, I don't even think of the song anymore. I just think of Archer. Yeah. You're in the danger zone, Lana. Oh, God. Sorry. So, yeah, because it sounds like a pretty big game. Now how does – we've mentioned away teams a couple of times. How does that work? Do you, like, actually walk around the plant? Do you have, like, a little ATV you drive around, which is how they do it in Starflight? Like, how do away teams work?
No, it's more of, you know, again, we're kind of focusing on the captain aspect, and we really want you to feel like you are the captain of your ship. And it's more of sending your crew down there. I mean, you rarely see like guys like Picard go down there unless something's really major, right? But
yeah.
You know, you'll send Riker down there, that kind of stuff.
Unless
so we're focusing
like
on that aspect.
That I'm going.
That's also true. Yeah.
Do you have any green?
No. No, I'm just joking.
Okay. Oh damn!
Alden's gonna kill me.
I was excited about that. I was like, "That's a fascinating thing you're gonna put in there." What was that? I was gonna ask something else now. Oh, so besides, are there gonna be like NPC aliens you can meet and maybe trade with and stuff like that, or is it just you and the folks that are chasing you?
Yeah, I mean, you'll definitely meet aliens out there in the world.
Oh, good.
You know, Alden can speak a little more about some of the different types of aliens.
Yeah, we just currently had a huge discussion going over, like, all the different alien races and what they kind of represent to the world. So we kind of want to have, you know, different ones that you approach, and you're like, okay, I know that I can trade with these guys. And then you encounter another race, and you're like, I know these guys are, you know, kind of assholes, so they're going to attack me no matter what. So we want to have that differentiation of like knowing the races and kind of becoming aware of them as you play.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Now I wanted to ask a kind of a different question. I'm watching the video and something just came to me. How do you control your ship? Do you use like a mouse interface and you fly it yourself? Do you give your helmsman orders, go here at this speed, that sort of thing? Can you do either or?
Well, it's definitely you controlling the ship. It's definitely not like Elite where you're kind of moving the mouse to nose the ship around. More traditional of, you know, WASD. So you got your pitch up and down, your roll left and right, and then you've got kind of a rudder style control of with Q&E with going left and right.
You're probably making some people happy saying it's not like Elite.
Yeah, well, I've played that, and it's – I don't know. I go back and forth on it. It's kind of like, yeah, this is nice. Oh, my God, this is terrible.
Yeah, there are a lot of – there's a lot of love and hate for that game right now. Like, oh, these controls are awful. The controls are wonderful. I hate it. I love it. Yeah, it's a lot of
– Interesting. I think one thing that separates us with the controls that's really cool, I think they've done a really good job with the camera controls. And being able, I mean, you can just lock the camera and that's its natural state where it'll just ebb and flow and follow the ship really nicely. Or you can do what I do all the time, which is go into this, you know, 3P free cam and kind of look around the ship from different angles as you're in flight. You know, which is really nice to one, help you avoid obstacles and also kind of get a bearing on where you came from, not only where you're going. So, you know, it's cool to do. I really like that. So you know, between your mouse and your keyboard, you really have complete control of the ship.
Oh, that's good. That's important. Now, another ship aspect I want to talk about, you guys mentioned, volley combat system.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like, 'cause when I hear that, I think of like the old sailing ships with broadsides and things like that. Is that what we're talking about or is it something different?
Yeah. I mean, it's basically our idea of the combat was very much in line with Star Trek, right? Like what you see in Next Generation and things like that is,
they're
lined in front of you and you're basically trading shots back and forth. And it's not turn-based or anything like that.
Right, right.
But, you know, you've got your – you fire, and then you've got to wait for it to reload or recharge. And then you're able to fire again, and you're able to you know, pick out the target points. So it's all in real time, and it can go pretty quickly depending on the amount of enemies you're fighting. But it is that back and forth, and you know, I guess volley-based is the best description we could give it.
Yeah, I think the other element to that is we wanted to pace things out in that style, because at the end of the day, you're still your captain. Like, yes, in this instance, you're telling these different stations when to fire their weapons, but you're also managing your ship at the same time, you know. So, you know, if your shields take a lot of damage, you'll break away from combat to go, you know, drop in some repair parts on that. Or maybe you'll get, you know, you'll want to enhance things a little bit and boost your weapons up for that combat experience if you're in a really challenging fight. Right. So, you know, me personally, I bounce back and forth between the combat controls and our engineering screen, you know, in order to manage the ship during battle.
Oh, okay. Can the player manage the screens they want to manage during combat? Like, if I just wanted to stay in the captain's chair, could I do that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. Great. That's where I'd probably want to stay. But no, I like that option. I like that option a lot. So, oh, I wanted to ask something. What did I want to ask? I'm sorry. I'm kind of half asleep right now. I am so out of it. Oh, yeah. You mentioned it sounded like someone said that you can target subsystems. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, in combat.
And what is the benefit of that? Like, can you capture ships? Can you disable them and take their stuff? You know, that kind of thing? Can you board them? Something like that?
Well, it's more of like a strategy system. So you've got, you know, shield systems on your own ship, but enemies have those as well. So you can be targeting their hull, or basically just their whole ship and firing at them, but that shield's going to absorb a percentage of the damage. So it's, and their weapon system as well is going to be firing. So you can be like, okay, I want to take out their weapons so that they can stop hitting me. So you target their weapon system and try to take that out. And then you can focus on the other aspects. Or if you want to take their shield out first, you can do that. Or you can just start blasting them straight away. It's just kind of leaving that strategy open to the player.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times, like, when we play, you know, I like to take out their weapons first just so I can get a pause, especially, you know, you'll see one instance of a fight with three enemy ships at once. You know, in those instances, I'm like, oh, okay, wow, like, I've got to take out this guy's weapon systems real quick just so I can focus and stop getting nailed every 2 seconds. I'm going to do that. All right, now I'm going to go for this guy's shields and weaken him. All right, I open it up. Okay, one more shot, took him out. Great, now I can move on and I have a more manageable battle. So, yeah, it's just a different way of looking at combat, and it provides unique opportunities for each engagement.
Oh, that's cool. Did you guys ever play, and I'm going to go back to this because it's kind of similar to what you were saying. Did you ever guys play an older game called Rules of Engagement?
Ooh, I don't know that I have.
It was a game it was published by Impressions. There were two of them back in the early 90s, and it's really one of the most detailed capital ship games I've ever seen. And yeah, you could do that very same thing, target specific weapon systems and take them out and stuff like that. So that's just what I thought of. I'm not trying to compare your game to all these other games or saying you stole shit or anything. It's just this is what comes into my very odd head. But it's
Alden would tell you that that's what art is all about, right?
That's stupid. But it's a good comparison because it's an amazing game. You guys should look it up. Now, someone in the chat room, and I hate to say I haven't been monitoring the chat. I apologize. But someone in the chat room asked about mod support. Mm-hmm. Will there be any for this game?
We're looking into it. We've gotten a couple requests for it throughout the Kickstarter, and it's certainly not something we're opposed to. You know, we love the mod community. I came out of the mod community. I think that's really important, especially for a game like this, because the possibilities with such a massive world are endless. So we'll definitely look into it. You know, who knows if it would happen for ship, but I think we would love to do it if we could.
Which mod community did you come out of, if I may ask?
I got started in the Day of Defeat community.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I never played that one, but that was apparently, from what I understand, a very active mod community at the time.
Yeah, it was a great community. It was fun.
The one I kind of started getting weirdly involved in was Unreal Tournament way back.
Nice. There you go.
Oh, God. That game is still amazing, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
Oh my God! So, which engine are you using? Because this is very, very pretty.
That's a good segue. Speaking of Unreal.
Oh, is this the Unreal Engine?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Unreal. Oh, wow. Oh, the new one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen many games yet that at least I'm not aware of that are using the new Unreal Engine. How are you guys liking that? Because I've heard a lot of good things about it. I've heard it's very well made and easy. Well, easy for someone who knows what the hell they're doing to use. I'd be like, but apparently I've heard it's a great engine. How are you guys finding it?
It's awesome.
It's awesome, yeah. I don't think we'd be able to make this game without that engine. And that's a bold statement, but I hold to it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, with such, you know, I mean, they came out in, I think it was March of last year, and came out with this subscription model. And, you know, the timing just worked out for us of being like, okay, what engine are we going to do? What do we think? And we're looking around and, you know, my familiarity level with Unreal is pretty strong. And so is Alden's.
Right.
And it's pretty easy for, you know, developers to go into there and learn the engine quickly. But basically with our team structure, like, yeah, we probably wouldn't have been able to do this in, you know, any other engine.
Oh, okay. Because a lot of devs are using Unity. A lot of the devs we talk to use Unity, which seems to have its pluses and minuses.
Yeah, it's a good engine.
As well. But from what I've heard, there are far less downsides with this engine, from what I understand, than with Unity, for example. I mean, that's that's just based on what I've talked the talks I've had with developers.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't developed in Unity, but you know, we certainly have friends that are, and you know, it sounds very comparable to what you're saying. It's like there are ups and downs with any engine, of course, but our experience with Unreal has been tremendous. And to Alden's point, we don't really think it would have been possible for us to do what we've done, especially in less than a year, in any other engine. It's been very, very quick, so it's been great.
Yeah, because, I mean, I keep looking at this trailer because I have to, but it's
nice. I'm considering – I'm going to send you some other links to footage right now, too, if you want to drop that in, some other stuff that we can –
Oh, great. Yeah, do that, folks. Yeah, do that. That'd be great, so I don't have to keep hitting spacebar to restart it. And stuff.
fine.
That'll be amazing. Oh, great. Yay. I will download that right now and put it in the folder and add it and stuff. Great. Oh, wonderful. More stuff. Yay. All right. Awesome. I'm going to download that right now while we talk.
So these are clips. We actually released a couple of these today. These are just longer clips, unedited, of stuff that we used to build the trailer. So it's, you know, there's not jump cuts. And, you know, Alden mentioned doing this. I thought it was a great idea. Just being able to show people a little bit more of what the game is like for a longer duration. So they're getting a better perspective on what it's actually like to fly around. I think that's one thing that if we could go back and maybe adjust some things in the Kickstarter, that would be it, is to like really give people perspective on flight and like make it very clear you are in complete control of this ship. You are really flying it around. You're not just pointing to a destination and, you know, it takes you there. Like, wherever you want to go is up to you. If you want to just sit and do barrel rolls in a nebula, go for it.
Ah, very nice.
I do that frequently.
Roy's not very good at the game.
No.
But you guys love the game, so that's what's important. Okay, I'm downloading these other ones right now. You sent me four? Is that right? Send me four links?
Okay. Yeah, there should be that four. One video, it's 1.8 gigs. Are you sure that's not the whole game? That's
you might be better linking them to the Vimeo site and have them download it from there.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We can just give you the HD from there. Let me do that right now.
Oh,
just
okay.
I was giving you the rawness. I forgot how massive it was.
Yeah, those things are uncompressed. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, those are pretty big. Yeah, those are pretty large. Yeah, let me just stop that. Let me just restart this. Oh, and someone asked, and I wanted to ask this too. Someone asked in the chat room about the music. You guys have, you know, Jack Wall, right?
Yeah, that's right.
How is that? Because I'm a soundtrack nut. I am a soundtrack fanatic. So I want to know what that's. How'd you get that? And what's it like?
It's awesome. I'd worked with Jack on Lost Planet, and another project, we'd work together. So as soon as we kind of had this going on, like, I knew that he's the number one sci-fi space game guy. Like, Mass Effect's one of my favorite games, and that soundtrack is such a visual, like, space opera soundtrack.
Right.
There's just not much like it. So I was like, oh, we gotta get Jack on it. So we called him up and showed him some of the stuff. We talked to him back and forth, and he really liked the project and wanted to be part of it. And that blew us away. Like, we were humbled just by that.
Yeah.
And he's pretty excited with the project, and he's awesome to work with. The guy is pro, to say the least. Like, he's amazing.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I think for us, like, we really knew that our Kickstarter video was coming together when we started laying in his music. And I still remember the message that Alden sent me. We're like, as soon as we got the link, we started downloading it, and he just writes chills with an ellipsis afterwards. Like, yes, that is exactly what is happening tier two. It was like all the feels at the same time. It was awesome.
Can't go wrong with the feels. So you got Jack Wall doing the music. So who's working on the sound design? Like, how important is the sound? Because, like, I never really understood how important sound could be in a game until I played a game like Elite Dangerous, where it's like, that's arguably the best thing about that game is the audio. So what are you guys doing to make the audio, like, as immersive as the music sounds like it's going to be?
About the audio in general? So we actually started working with a team called Hexany Audio that's here in Los Angeles. And, you know, these guys are pros. And it's one of the things that we pursued, like, as soon as we realized, okay, like, us just subbing in sounds from different libraries that we can find and getting that hooked up to what we have here isn't going to cut it. You know, because the visual bar that Alden is delivering is amazing. And, like, having Jack involved, obviously sets us apart. So we knew, okay, like, from an audio perspective, we're going to have to push the bounds well beyond of our own capabilities. We knew these guys, and in talking with them, they really got the project. And we said, okay, like, their perspective on this is really strong. We're going to have to get them involved, because they're going to make this orally, this experience that'll just really, you know, hopefully blow people away. I mean, it's certainly impressed us to this point.
Yeah, no, that's great, because I mean, when you have a multi-crew game like this, you need like crew responses and all kinds of audio. So it sounds like you guys are doing your due diligence to make it sound good. Now I want to talk about the Kickstarter, because we talked about it a little bit before, but Kickstarter kind of fascinates me. In because I work in internet marketing, so it kind of it kind of fascinates me how it's like its own thing. It's not like it's nothing like traditional marketing at all.
No.
And so how hard has that been? Because I know a lot of guys are like, this is a full time gig in and of itself. How much work has it been working on the Kickstarter campaign? I mean, it's obviously been successful, but now you guys have stretch goals. So what have you guys been doing to keep the campaign moving forward?
Well, things like this, for sure. I mean, we're taking any opportunity we can to continue to get the word out. You know, we're going to continue to release content this week. You know, is going to be good. I mean, the stuff that's going to be, you know, on the website, on our development blog, on the Kickstarter page itself. You know, and in social media, and just trying to keep up with all those different avenues. There should be a couple interviews, you know, coming out this week. You know, so we're doing everything we can to continue to generate buzz. We also announced add-ons today. So, you know, if people have contributed to the campaign previously, they can come back, you know, and for a discounted rate, they can get extra stuff. So, like, for an extra $15, you can get an extra copy of the game. You know, and that's much cheaper. That's the early bird price, which, you know, sold out almost entirely in the first day. So that, you know, there's some good value there. And, you know, for stepping up in price, $20, $25, you can get, you know, the digital art book and the soundtrack as well. And those are obviously going to be cheaper than, you know, they will be if we release them at any point later. So wanting to provide some value for the people that has helped us out, but also hope that, you know, they can maybe help us out a little bit more and get to at least our first stretch goal, which, you know, we think will be great, which is, you know, to add this crew platoon pack. That gives a lot more variety in terms of the crew members that you're choosing from, you know, in terms of like, you know, nationality. Obviously, we want to represent both genders, but just getting a lot more variety in there, and also the ability to, you know, to customize the names of your crew members, right, and have them really personal to you. So that's something that we're really shooting for in that pack. And, you know, we're only, you know, we're less than $10,000 away at this point, and we hope we can do it in the last week. It would be really great.
You probably will. I mean, with just about every Kickstarter I've seen, it's the last 48 hours when that remind me email goes out, you know, that like this huge surge usually comes in. Mm-hmm. So you guys will probably do fine. Now, I keep meaning to ask, but I keep forgetting. There's a thing that pops up in these videos. It looks like a bunch of elements with like a cursor going through them, and all the elements are different colors. Is that like a mini game type thing? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, that's – I mean, that's – It's a short little mini game that we use to basically represent when you're mining and you're gathering resources. So, you know, it's little clips of that, but basically you're down there and you send your mining rig down there, and then you're controlling this drill, trying to gather as many resources as you can.
Oh, okay, that makes sense now that you say it, because I look at it like, oh, yeah, that kind of does look like a drill, doesn't it? I wasn't sure if that was some kind of hacking mini game or something like that. Are there going to be other mini games like that in the game besides the mining one?
We're looking at stuff like that. Nothing to announce right now, but, you know, we'll see. But for the most part, I mean, I think to Roy's point, we just want to keep it focused on the captain's chair as much as possible. So we'll see.
You should have an add-on where you're another member of the crew and not the captain, and you just stand there. you just stand there waiting for orders. That's the whole game.
You get the boat swaying, you get that cool whistle. It'd be like Ocarina of Time, but you just play the same song.
Amazing. Yeah. Wow.
It'd be like that one episode of Next Gen, what was it called, Lower Decks, where it was about all these ensigns. or whatever. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. So you just want to be an ensign and sit there and have the captain.
I don't, but I just think that'd be fun. I'm just going to stand here for 8 hours because that's my shift. That's my whole shift. It's just 8 hours of this. No, I mean, it sounds – there aren't enough capital ship games, let me tell you. There really, really aren't. So – I guess I got to ask, why capital ships? Why not the sexier fighters? Because that's what everyone wants to fly, right? Are the fighters, not the big hulking behemoths like this thing.
I mean, I can speak just briefly before Alden can go more depth, but it's kind of a theme, you know? It's basically more in line with Star Trek and Battlestar Galactica, and especially the theme of Battlestar Galactica, of you being, you know, the only humans you know about that are remaining, and you're just, you know, trying to stay alive, basically.
Oh, I see. Okay. Darn it, these clips keep stopping. Hang on. I gotta fix this. But yeah, I'm really liking what I'm hearing. So the Kickstarter is done in roughly a week, right? I think.
Yeah, 7 days.
Oh wow! 7 days from right now. So next that's the second. No, the third. No. No, it's the third, right?
Yeah. It's basically the end of the day. So I said it'd be early on the third. Yeah.
Oh okay. So yeah, folks, start kicking now. Seriously, but okay, let's. There we go. Start. Just go, you stupid thing. Just go. Silly Windows Media Player. If someone on the podcast or listening or whatever can tell me how to do repeating videos in Windows Media Player, just leave it in the comments or something. I'm at my wit's end, and I don't really have another good – I'm not using Windows Media Player. I'm not. So forget that. I hate it so much. Just saying. So if anyone uses Media Player Classic and can tell me that, that'd be great. Just throwing that out there. Just throw
Yeah, I think the answer is VLC.
Yes, that is the answer.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if I have VLC on this stupid thing. Keep going. Okay, so once the Kickstarter is done, when do we get to play the early access version on Steam?
Well, honestly, one of the things that we reasons that we wanted to do the Kickstarter was that so we weren't forced to do early access. You know, we felt like if we didn't have the extra time to polish the game and really get it into a state that we were comfortable with shipping, you know, we would have had to push it into early access just to get it out there. So for us, you know, the hope is that with this Kickstarter funding and getting some areas of the game covered that, you know, we wouldn't have been able to have before, it'll put us in a place where we can release the game, you know, fully and then continue to, you know, to add on and expand on this universe. So that's the hope. But, you know, in terms of getting your hands on and actually playing it, we're going to be at GDC. We're going to be on the floor and we're going to have the game playable. So that would be a great opportunity for anybody who is there to come by and give it a shot.
Oh, I wish I was going because I want to play it. But I kind of like that you're avoiding the whole early access thing, honestly, because that's kind of turned into a mess. Like yeah. no one knows what alpha means or beta means anymore. People think beta means a finished game, you know, early right. access. I mean, I love seeing how the sausage is made. I do love that. But I think it really has ruined. Like, look at what was that one? Starbase DF9, that Double Fine one, where they just up and quit.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's one of those things that. It had good intentions, right?
Yeah, of course.
You know, there were some great things that came about, and some are good, but you know, the gems are far and few between, and you do see a lot of cases of early access games being released, and you know, the game's doing good sales-wise, but then people just kind of drop off the map. So it's tough to gauge, you know, how people are going to react to early access now. So we wanted to try to avoid that and try to put out a finished product.
No, that's the right way to go. That's totally the right way to go. Because I mean, I think people have kind of lost sight as to what a finished product actually is.
Yeah.
Well, and it seems like you never know. I mean, with early access, it seems like some of these games just stay in early access forever, you know, and when is it ever done? When are they going to actually release it?
Yeah, I wonder if that's a
very confusing.
I wonder if that's a function of feature creep, like the scope yeah. continues because as long as you keep sticking features, you keep pulling early access money, right? So, but then again, I think that's where DF9 made their giant mistake, was that they didn't budget enough money in the Kickstarter to actually do the game. So they were relying on basically living paycheck to paycheck on the early access. And whenever that tapered off, they were like, well, it's not supporting itself, and just kicked it
yeah.
to the curb.
I think they talked right. about it a little bit. Basically saying that thing right there is they kept working on it, but as soon as the early access sales eventually trickled down, then there wasn't really much point financially to keep working on it because then they've already basically reached their threshold of sales.
Right. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. Sorry. I'm trying this VLC thing.
Oh, it's so much better. Enjoy.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I never really got into it. I don't know why. I've always been using this Media Player Classic thing. And so stupid. Hang on. I'm just going to have it go to the other thing. If I can. Hang on.
Welcome to tech support tonight.
Sorry, folks. Hang on. There we go. There
He's
we
got
go.
His classic Media Player and his IBM keyboard from 92.
Yeah.
You know,
some people are just stuck in their ways
on that 386 Pentium.
Oh yeah, that's the shit, man. How do you get this to repeat now? Because yeah. I don't.
Hey, see there you
so,
go.
Hey, let me ask you guys about a game that's not yours. So, Homeworld HD, about a month.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys stoked for that? Do you care?
That's the one that Gearbox is doing. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just actually saw some stuff about it yesterday. I think.
Yeah, because when I heard Gearbox, it scared the hell out of me. But then, you know, because I had like a Duke Nukem Forever flashback. But
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, what's funny, I was actually sitting in the demo trailer at E3 99 when they first premiered Duke Nukem Forever. And
Wow,
it's been a long time. So, but anyway, yeah, the new Homeworld thing. I've actually seen, because they showed it off at PAX. Right. Have you guys been to any of the PAXes? I had never had.
Yeah, I've been to PAX Prime a bunch of times. I actually used to live in Seattle. It's one of my favorite events, so it's really cool.
Oh, cool. So that's actually becoming, I think, the consumer-friendly E3 that we always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Is more that. So, you know, it's a game show that doesn't happen 90%, you know, behind the curtain kind of thing, like what E3 really is. But it's they showed, God, somebody put up on YouTube like 40 minutes of footage of this thing, and it's just bonkers.
Oh, wow.
I cannot believe how good it looks. And yeah, so I mean, I wasn't super excited for it before because Brian and I were having this conversation about like what was actually wrong with Homeworld, you know, because it was like when it first came out, it was like, oh God, this looks awesome. But then we kind of got tired with it really quick.
Right.
And I don't know. I'm afraid I'm going to have that reaction again because I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh my God, it looks awesome. But if it's still the same game under this skin, I don't know, because it might still have the same things, you know. But I don't know. I'm still kind of excited for it. I'll give it another shot. I was actually playing the Cataclysm like last night a little bit.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I'm going to start playing that in about a week.
Yeah.
I've never played it before. I'm actually really excited about it.
Yeah, pro tip,
you know,
don't
what?
Run it higher than 1024 because even
really?
Though you can run it like 1920 by whatever, the menus still cause frame rate. Like the game itself is great. When you pull a menu up, then you get like 2 frames a second. But if you keep it about 1024 and run it in OpenGL, you're fine.
1024, really?
Yeah,
oh,
and that's
God,
the res that it was designed for. If you scale it like bigger than that, then the interface does not scale with
There's
it.
There's not an HD mod for it or anything?
Uh-uh. No, well, what? Yeah, there is an HD mod for it. It'll be out in about a month.
That's different.
I know, but...
Nice.
Better pull out that CRT.
Yeah.
Speaking of games I've never played before, we actually had a lot of people in the first week of the raise, you know, comment and send us direct messages talking about a, you know, a classic game called Star Control.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I'd heard about it at the time, but I never played it as a kid. You know, so I downloaded it last week and I've been playing and I'm loving it, but I was like, oh my God, there are so many parallels to what we're doing and what, you know, what some of the fundamental elements of this game, even though obviously the perspective and the controls and everything about it are so different.
Are you playing Star Control 2?
Yeah. The second one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I started with the second one.
So here's the deal. Are you playing the original one or did you get Urquan Masters, which is the fan remake?
No, I think I'm playing the original one.
Okay, go grab Urquan Masters because it's a fan remake, you know, free download
uh-huh.
thing.
And and then if you want to hate yourself, go actually grab Starflight and try playing that.
Yeah,
I love hating myself.
but anyway, yeah. So the Urquan Masters thing, they basically modernized it. They took the performance stuff. You know, works better in that. It's basically built for a modern PC. So,
oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So it's
really
pretty
cool.
Great.
Yeah,
and it's cross-platform, too. I think it runs, you know, Linux, Mac, and Windows.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which one is this? Okay, this is really weird. I'm just going to tell you guys something. Open Broadcaster Software, which is what I use to stream all this stuff, it picked up the other movies fine, but this Open Flight clip got a blank screen with it.
Huh.
That's the secret.
It's under
embargo.
I don't know if there's a technical issue with it. DLC is playing it just fine, but for some reason, why is it not showing up now? Maybe it's just for God's sakes, never mind. I hate myself. try to be professional. I'm not anywhere near a professional. I'm sorry, people. I'm trying to do this right. Hang on. Why are you fucking me, thing? Why are you fucking me? Sorry.
So yeah, we get paid by Brian's F bombs, actually.
Nice. Oh, nice.
There's a jar.
Yeah,
there's a jar. Like, what is that?
It's
Hot
like,
fuzz?
Dude,
there's
if there
a
was a
jar.
Patreon where you got paid, no, never mind.
Oh wow, should I? I'm actually gonna start one. Should I put that in there? Like every time I curse?
Yeah, every time you curse, throw me a dollar.
Because yeah. I do curse a lot.
It'd be like the inverse tip jar, the inverse curse jar. I don't know.
Well, you guys wanted to keep it around an hour, so it's about that time. So I'd say it's a good place to wrap up, though. We've talked a lot about the game and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Unless you guys have any other questions.
No, I went through all. I had a bunch written down in Trello, and I just went through them all during the show. So yeah, you guys did a great job answering them too. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Oh no, it's been a pleasure. It hasn't been the most technically proficient podcast in the world, folks. I'm sorry about that. Usually I'm better about these things. I don't know what's going on tonight.
Well, when you figure out VLC in a couple months, give us a shout. We'll actually have more footage at that time. We'll bring it back.
We bring it back.
Who knows? Maybe we can even live stream the game. We'll see what we can do.
Yes.
Is your game going to run in Windows 95? Or what's the minimum spec? Because we didn't tell you about Brian's machine yet.
You gotta have a Mac processor.
How many floppies?
At least 12.
I'm running.
I don't even know a computer that we can even test that on.
I'm running a 486 SX in turbo mode.
At least he finally got rid of the tape deck.
I've got the turbo button pushed all the time.
You get that Voodoo graphics card?
Oh, God. Two Voodoo talk cards.
Oh, man.
SLI, man.
You're living the high life there. Yeah.
With the rendition card as the 2D card, so I can run anything. Total Annihilation, Dark Reign, you name it.
Wow.
Nice. Well, Ben, Roy, and Alden, you're not related to Nathan, by the way, are you, Alden?
No, I wish. I get that a lot.
I think he spells his last name with two L's, though, doesn't he?
Two L's, yeah.
Oh, that'd be great if you had two L's. You could totally use that somehow.
You know what? When he's at the bar, he is related to Nathan.
Yeah.
Space Game Junkie Podcast After Dark. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, folks, thank you so guys, thank you so much for joining us. This was kind of a slapshot podcast, but it was fun. I hope you guys had fun. I had fun.
Yeah.
Even with the technical issues. But it was our pleasure having you, and you don't need to help with the Kickstarter. You're successful. I mean, you already did it, so just you make the game now. I mean, really, just
spread the word.
Just stop.
Yeah, spread it.
Spread what? You've won.
Gotta hit that stretch goal.
Yeah. So, do you guys? Before we go out, do you have any advice to the other indie devs that are out there that are going to try to do something?
In terms of Kickstarter?
Kickstarter or just anything like School of Hard Knocks. What did you get on the way here?
Yeah, for sure. I think my biggest point of advice would be to plan as much as you can and do as much work as you can before you start to do this full time. You know, if you've got an existing job, run it out as best as you can, you and anybody else you're planning to work with, and do everything you can to prepare yourself for it, because it is all consuming when you get there. And, it becomes a lot harder at that point. So just try to be smart. Do a ton of research before you go out and start to do this yourself. You know, everything from looking at what platform you want to build your game on, to what it takes to distribute your game. You know, what does it take to actually, you know, what does it take to get on Steam? How else can I get my game out there if it's on PC? There's a ton of questions like that. And thankfully, the internet is a tremendous resource in that regard. So I would just recommend doing as much research as you can before you get started, because it is a tricky process, even for, you know, veteran developers like ourselves.
Yeah. So you guys had a lot of buzz and success early on, right? So I'm sure that you're probably being approached by the press more so than you guys are chasing the press down, right?
Yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised that, you know, we got a lot of love early on, and, you know, we looked at that as a point of like, oh, cool. Well, you know, they love us, or at least they're interested in what we're doing. Maybe they'll continue to engage with us. And, you know, I think that's kind of slowed down, but we're hoping that by the time we get it into their hands at GDC, that they'll get a much better perspective on the game and what we're actually doing here. So, you know, I think we're more than pleased with the amount of press that we got to get started here, especially for an upstart company with a Kickstarter. You know, we were very fortunate. Of course, we'd love to do more, and you know, that we're open to any opportunity. I mean, that, you know, for us, it's about spreading the word and building a fun audience that really helps us build this game with us. So, you know, any avenue that we can pursue that is one that we'll consider.
Oh, okay.
So last question for me: will I be able to buy paint jobs for the show?
All then you
kind of addicted to that.
It's definitely something we want to do. It really is. And it's something that I'm slowly trying to build so that I can implement it later on if possible. So all the stuff behind the scenes I'm trying to implement and build the ship out just geometry wise and the textures that are being used so that we can approach that later on. If possible, but it's definitely a discussion we've been having and stuff we want to do too, like have some cool ass like teeth or something on the ship or like crazy paint jobs and stuff. It's always part of those like whiteboard discussions, like, oh man, wouldn't it be cool if, you know? So we try to build all the hooks that we can to let us to at least give us breathing room to try to bring in those aspects later on.
Oh, I have a question, sir. I've been watching a lot of Columbo. Sorry. One more thing.
Thank God no, it wasn't Beretta, because then he'd have to have the bird.
Is the ship going to have a computer voice? Is there going to be like a Major Barrett computer voice of the ship?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Okay.
Yes, is the answer.
Can you get Brian Blessed to do the voice? I would actually pay extra. If you make that a stretch goal tonight, I will kick more to the Kickstarter if you make Brian Blessed the computer voice.
And he specifically has to yell dive.
Unfortunately for you, we have already have an amazing voice actor locked in, and we're not announcing that just yet. But we're pretty excited about it. It's not like a major celebrity or anybody.
It's Ron Paulson, isn't it? That's who it is. Totally
Damn
Ron
it.
Paulson.
You ruined the announcement.
You guys got Yakko Warner, for God's sakes. That's amazing.
I thought you said Ron Paul.
No, that's his name.
It's
right?
Happening.
No, that's the guy who played Yakko Warner in Animaniacs. I think his name is Ron.
Oh wow.
It's a shame Peter Falk isn't alive. We can get him in there. Excuse me, Captain. Just one more thing. Sorry, I'm losing my goddamn mind. Anyway, folks, thank you for watching, listening, and you guys, thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure. I'm about to cut the stream. So next week, guys, we have the indubitable, the amazing, the one and only Derek Smart will be joining us next week to talk about the Battlecruiser games and all that fun stuff. Sweet. So yeah, it's gonna be fun. So thanks everyone. Have a good night. Bye.
Bye.